This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
It's a tremendous chos to be able to have the Rav of Neir Gatzin come and speak for us. As you all know, I got up from Shiva not too long ago, and my brother-in-law Nasi had dedicated a shiur in the initial with my mother. And it's one thing I could say that whenever I'd come back and Sarah Gratzin said this or Gratzin that, she was always very interested and enamored by it. And it's something that, a shiur that we could have that could reach everyone, all different walks of life. And we're very zeicha to have the Rav come all the way from Queens, plan her, and I can't thank him enough, and I can't thank my brother-in-law. Cedars. Sorry. Cedars. I don't know what Cedars is. Outside Lakewood. And thank you very much, Nasi, for bringing him also. Thank you.
Okay. Maybe put this here. Okay, thank you so much, Rashiva, for the warm introduction. I think already I'm here more than three times. I was once zeichet to be here on Chanukah, on Zois Chanukah, and many other occasions. So it's a great zchus to be in the Yeshiva HaKadosha. We wish the Rashiva a tremendous hatzlacha together with all the Rabbeim, all the Talmidim, and I thank my good Yiddid, Rav Nasi, for bringing me here and giving me the great zchus to share with you some thoughts today. Today we're going to speak about an inyan, and I think we could all admit that, you know, we have three amudim in this world. Two of them, I think, are doing pretty good. Amud HaTorah, here we are, we're in the Ir HaTorah, Lakewood. Unbelievable, you know, even, I live in New York, but I don't, you know, and I live in the tri-state area, but I don't live in Lakewood, Lake Ir HaTorah. But Baruch Hashem, in our dar, in our times, we have so many yeshivas, so many yunga light, mamish learning, be'amelos, and be'egia, and really schwitzing and learning. And even balabatim, the level of balabatim today, daf yoimi shiurim, tremendous limud haTorah throughout the world. The chesed today is unbelievable. You have a gemach for everything you could possibly imagine. Anything you might need. You need a left shoelace, you go to the left shoelace gemach, and you know, you can have different colors, different sizes. The chesed in Klal Yisrael is tremendous. But I think by our own admission, the amud of tefillah, I think we could all admit, could use some chizuk. I think, you know, especially B'nai Yeshiva. I remember at one time, I walked in with my grandfather to shul, and we came early. So I went to get a siddur, and I went to get a sefer, like a good yeshiva bachar, because, you know, davening is learning time, obviously, right? And my grandfather said, what's the sefer for? So I said, maybe in between Kel Odoin and Hamizgoya, there might be a few moments they could So it's tefillah, it's not derech eretz. You don't learn that. And there's a certain yashus to it, you know. The halacha is that during tefillah, you know how to learn. You know, during Chazar Sashatz, many people, all of a sudden, they become very, very big masmidim, and that's not my place to tell you what to do. Ask your rabbeim. Reb Chaim Knievsky says, if you're Mavra Sedger again, then you have to do it again. Okay, if you want to do it twice, you could do it twice. It's definitely Marich and Yama Vashnoisav, it's not a problem. And if you make a siyum during the 9 days, you could be machsho a lot of people and eating basar at some kind of sudas rishos. That's all, it's all good. And I'm not paskening. I mean, but that's what Chaim Knievsky writes. Based on Mishnah Berurah, I mean, I think, you know, most Orthodox Jews follow that. So, but again, that's not what I'm here for. I think the reason why people are so looking, okay, it's davening, so let me find something to learn, because people are pretty bored during tefillah. That's so let's give a few examples and a few illustrations. So you say Mizmar Shir, what nusach do they daven over here? And they say Baruch Sha'amar, And then they say, Haidu. So you say, okay, Haidu, I praised Hashem. So now what? Mizmor L'Soida? Well, I did that already. I already said Mizmor. I already thanked Hashem. I already praised Hashem. No, okay, again, I'll say Mizmor L'Soida. Now, Yehi Chavoid. Now, what am I doing now? I already... So we just figure, okay, we got to get through now in the next 45 minutes, 100 pages, and we'll basically rattle through. We have no idea what the nafka mina is between Yehi Chavoid and Mizmor L'Soida and the first Halleluka and the second Halleluka and the Vayivarach David. They're all the same. Basically, right now, I'm not able to learn, so I'm going to try to rattle off these 100 pages as fast as I can. And in my humble opinion, the reason why tefillah is not that meaningful to us is because we don't know anything whatsoever, nothing about it. We have no clue at all, not the first thing about davening. And we could go 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years. And the longer we say it, the more meaningless it becomes because we're just saying again something that meant nothing yesterday. So the first thing I would just like to share with you is that in order to appreciate davening, it should be learned like any other mitzvah in Torah, because a person cannot have chashivas for something that they don't know anything about. So if you learn about it, then it will be chashiv to you. If a person doesn't learn about it, then it won't be chashiv to you. Now obviously, don't take off any time from Seder. You could speak to your Rabbeim, how, what, when, where. But that's the first yisoid. If you don't learn about it, it can't have any meaning to a person. So let's say, I'll give you one example. Mizmor L'Soida. What in the world is Mizmor L'Soida? No, the Shulchan Aruch says you should say Mizmor L'Soida b'kol ram, and you should say it b'negina, and you should stand up when you say it. What exactly is so significant about Mizmor L'Soida that you should say it out loud, and you should say it b'negina, and you should say it b'kol ram? How is Mizmor L'Soida different than any other part of davening? So, Rav Avram Falaji, he says he never understood. Here you have a sif in Shulchan Aruch, and the Shulchan Aruch says this is the most important part of the Pesuk de Zimra, and I don't know, well, you know. And he said, until I saw from the Megala Mukais what Mizmor L'Soida is, and then I realized, okay, now I understand. Mizmor L'Soida basically is the hakdama to the whole davening. So you start off like this. Mizmor L'Soida. So we know, Ein oindim l'spalel ela mitoch divrei halacha. So Mizmor L'Soida. Hariu l'Hashem kol ha'aretz. Rashi Tevois. Halacha. That's the beginning of them. Okay. Hariu l'Hashem kol ha'aretz. Ivdu es Hashem b'simcha. What's the first part of davening? Avodas ha'karbonos. So that's karbonos. Boyu l'fana b'rnana is psukei d'zimra. Boyu l'fana b'rnana. Now we're up to Shema. Now, what is Shema? First thing is Yediyas Hashem. Ah, the big ayin and the big dalet. De'u ki Hashem hu Elokim. What's the other inyan of Shema? So this is very important. The Ramach Yevarim, that there are 248 words in Shema, keneged the 248 limbs. Hu asanu, He made us. Now, does everyone have 248 limbs? The Gemara Nedarim says only Yisrael has 248 limbs. Akum has 243. So, we belong to him, but not to Umay Sa'ilam. Amoy v'tzayin marisa. So here's a halacha in Shulchan Aruch that maybe is not fully understood. Shulchan Aruch says that one should say Shema be'ema be'yira b'resa sevezeah. You should say Shema with fear, with trembling, with trepidation. Why should you get so worked up when you say Shema? You have people shaking. They don't know what to do. They're going out of their kelim. Well, say, Rabbi, what are you thinking right now? Why are you so nervous? It's a halacha in Shulchan Aruch. So why should you say Shema? Be'ema, b'yira, resus, v'zeya. So Mishnah Berurah quotes the Tshuvas HaRajba, that when it says, ki oilecha hayragnu kol hayoyim, that we're killed, so to speak, by HaKadosh Baruch Hu every day. So the Rajba explains that when one says Shema, they're supposed to think, they're supposed to imagine, if ever put to the ultimate test, would one be willing to be Moser Nefesh al Kiddush Hashem, that one would give up their life al Kiddush Hashem. So when a person says Shema, they're supposed to be thinking that if ever put to the test, they would be killed for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the Yisoid of Shema. And that's also Merumas. De'uki Hashem al-Gimot Zman Nachman. Amoy v'tsoin marisa. We're like the sheep of his pasture, willing to go l'shchita. So those are the three ikarim of Shema. De'u ki Hashem Olekim, Yediyas Hashem. Ramach Evarim, Hu Asanu V'lay Anachnu. And then willing to be Moisa Nevesha Kiddush Hashem, Amoy Vitzoy Marisoy. Fine. Now we're up to Shemana Esrei. Bayu Sha'arav Besaida. Bayu Sha'arav Besaida are the three first brachos of Shemana Esrei. That's the shar with which you enter before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Chatzei Roisav Besihila are the 13 middle brachos of Shemana Esrei. Hoidu Lai Baruch Hu Shemai is Ritzei. We wouldn't have necessarily thought that Ritzei occupies such an integral part of the Avodah. No. Hoidu Lai Baruch Hu Shemai is Ritzei. Ki Toiv Hashem Li'olam Chazdai is Moidim. And the Adar Vadar Amunasai is Sim Shalom. So basically, Mizmor L'Saida is like a summary of what we're about to do. You know, before you do something, you always say, like in the Seder, before you start the Seder, say Kadesh, Orchatz, Karpas, Yachatz, Magid. So that's what we do in davening. Mizmor L'Saida, we say what the order of tefillah is. Now, Reb Schwab writes, Psukah de Zimra, and we're going to come back to this, has five parts. You have to know where in Psukah de Zimra you're holding. Which, by the way, it means you have to come to Psukah de Zimra. And you have to come to the beginning of Psukah de Zimra. And that means you have to have your tefillin on before the davening starts so you can actually say the whole Psukah de Zimra. Because, you know, here's another thing. You could ask your rabbeim, but a lot of people, they come to davening and they say, Matoivu, and Adoino Ilam, and Baruch Sha'amar, and Yishtava, and they say everything. But when the Shliach Tzibur starts Shemana Esrei, they're up to Yoytzar Uvarei Choshech. So they're very good Yidden. The only thing is they never daven with a minion in their entire life. It's either a lot of from Dina, because the definition of davening with a minion is starting Shemana Esrei with the Tzibur. So you don't start Shemana Esrei with Tzibur, you can daven with a minion. You're a great guy, we love you. You know how to learn. You could learn Tosis with Reb Chaim, and you could do tremendous chesed. You just didn't daven with a minion. Yeah, but I stayed. I was sitting in the room where 10 Jews prayed with a quorum. That's good for you, but you didn't daven with a minion. Definition of davening with a minion. So you have to make sure it's about timing. Also, you gotta be here to be able to execute the tefillah with a minion. But you want to get in. And I could give musar, because, you know, the rabbeim here, you give musar, you go to a different yeshiva. Here they blame it, they brought in some guy from, we're from Queens, you know? And, So here are the five parts of Psukah de Zimra. I was in Queens. I learned in Queens only 20 years. I still give shiurim. It's good. Here are the five parts of Psukah de Zimra. Negadelcha, Neshabechacha, Nefa'ercha, V'namlichacha, V'nazker Hashemcha. Five parts of Psukah de Zimra. The first part is Negadocha. You ever realize? Now here's the thing. Hoidu. Hoidu starts like this. Anybody know, where is Hoidu? Where does it come from? Tehillim, right? No, not yet. Not in the Siddur. Hoidu comes from Divrei Hayomim. There's an identical chapter in Hoidu that comes from Tehillim, but this comes from Divrei Hayamim. What's Hoidu doing in Psukah de Zimra? The answer is, that's the big machlokes, Ashkenaz and Sfarad. The reason why Sfarad puts it outside of Psukah de Zimra, because it's not really part of Psukah de Zimra. Because the Hoidu, until Al Tigub Mashiach bin Be'al Tareyu, was the shir that they sang in the Beis HaMikdash when the Karban Tamid Shel Shachar was brought. So really, it's part of Karbanos. So the Nusach Sfarad puts it before Psukah de Zimra. Then, Shiru Hashem Kol Ha'aretz, until Vayir Mechal Amamein V'Hal Hashem, is the shir of the Tamid Shel Bein Harbayim. So the first part of Hoidu is not really part of Psukah de Zimra. Again, Hoidu until Uvinviyal Tareyu is the shir of the Tamid Shel Shachar. Shir Hashem Kol Ha'aretz until Roimimu is the shir of Shel Bein Arbayim. Why the Chazin says out loud, Ki Kol Elokei Ha'amim Elilim, Hashem Shemayim Asa? Who says he should say it out loud? Nobody says you should say it out loud. Yeah, but in this siddur, it puts a thing there. I don't know. Nobody knows who put it there. It's not supposed to be there. You stops by Uvinviyai al Tareu is the first stop. The second stop is Vahal Hashem. Why the Chazan stops there? If anyone comes up with even a bad answer to this question, the Rashi will give you $100. Okay? So that's the first thing. Now we start Psuka de Zimra. Psuka de Zimra, the first part of Psuka de Zimra is called Negadelcha. This is just introduction. Okay? The first part of Psuka de Zimra, by the way, in the Siddur of Yaakov Emden, there's no thing over there. In the old Siddurim, there's nothing there. Here's the bad answer. The bad answer is, since you need to pause after Elilim, so they made a thing there. So they go, oh, okay, so let's say it out loud. This way everybody knows to stop there. That's the best answer. This is all Divrei Yamim, yeah. Okay, so the first part of Psuka de Zimra is Negadelcha. What does it mean, Negadelcha? So, to make Hashem great. That's not what Gidul means. What does Gidul mean? The Pasuk says, Gedilim Taselcha. What are Gedilim? Tassels. Or Miriam Megadel Seyar, Miriam the Shetomacher, the Gemara. She braids hair. Gidul is like this. All of a sudden, we say, Roim Majam Legem Shalam Rab Kadoshu, that comes from Tehillim Tzadik Tes Hey. Then we say, Roim Mu, that comes from Tehillim Tzadik Tes Tes. What do these two psukim have to do with each other? The answer is, there's a type of praise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu where you braid together two psukim that have the same topic, and you braid it together as one praise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a form of shevach, gidol. Then we take three random psukim of rachum, rachmanus, and we braid them together. V'rachum. That's braid number two. That's the second braid. There's seven braids. And then there's a braid of oiz. Tenu oiz elikim. And then there's a braid of nekama. Kel nekama, that's the Indian of the gidol. Negadelcha. What's the Indian of gidol? So they're chasanim over here, yeah? So here's a little tip. If you come home a Friday, Erev Shabbos, and you buy 12 red roses every single Friday. 12 red roses, 12 red roses. 12. So what in the world? What kind of... This is boring. You know, sometimes you have to get a bouquet of flowers, different kinds of flowers. When you put different kinds of flowers together, it creates a unique bouquet. Same thing with praising Hashem. You can't just say, okay, now we're going to say Perkuf Mem Vav, now we're going to say Kuf Mem Zayin. There's a certain type of Shevach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We take different Psukim and Tanakh from different places that talk about a similar theme and you put them together. So just, it's Kedai to be conscious and awake when you're saying these words. Realize there's a braid of Rachum, a braid of Oiz, a braid of Nekama, a braid of Yeshua, a braid of Bitacha, and that basically comprises Hoidu. Okay, so that's a few things to be aware of. Now I want to share with you two approaches to tefillah, and I think if we're able to even walk away with these two approaches to tefillah, it will, Be'ezus Hashem, enhance and elevate our tefillah, mikan ol haba. Okay, I'm giving you a sheet, because I like to give out sheets, I like to give out papers, and one side is color. Don't look at the color, you're not allowed to look at the color side, you're only allowed to look at the black and white side. At the end, we're going to look at the color side. Okay, you're good with that? Don't look at it, please. Okay. So the first approach, I think, is very pashat. Sometimes, in order to connect with something, in order for something to be more meaningful, you have to go back, mamish, to the basics. And the basics are three lines in the Chavis Havavos. Because if you ask most people, what's the tachlis of tefillah? The tachlis of tefillah is, I need something, and I'm going to ask the Ribbono Shel Olam, and he's going to answer me. That's why I'm davening. I'm davening because I need something. So I'm going to ask him, and Be'ezus Hashem, Hashem is going to say yes. The purpose of davening is bakasha. And we're going to learn that davening has absolutely nothing to do with getting what you need. Oh, I need a shidduch. So my ikar avoida tefillah is Ribbono Shel'Olam, please help me find a shaykh. Ribbono Shel'Olam, grant me hatzlacha in learning. Ribbono Shel'Olam, help me in this issue. That's what almost everybody thinks, that the purpose of tefillah is to get from Hashem what you need. And we're going to learn it's bechlal, not any of the purpose of davening. It's not a purpose of davening. So the one purpose that we came in, oh, I know why I like davening, because it's a way of getting from Hashem what I need. That's the one thing that we actually relate to in davening. I came to burst your bubble. That's not even a purpose of davening to begin with. So what? So, but we make so many bakashas. No, no. Any of the bakashas we make has nothing to do with actually getting what we need. And we're going to see. Chavos HaVavos writes, three lines. V'roi l'cha achi shateda. Brother, it's kedai for you to know. Ki kavanoseinu batfila, our kavana, our intent, our objective in davening, eina ki im. You know what eina ki im means? Is only, meaning nothing else is a tachlis. Number one, ki im kalois hanefesh el ho'alekim, is for the neshama to be able to yearn for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's a very important question to ask ourselves. Okay, I finished mincha. In my mincha, was this an expression? Did my neshama yearn for HaKadosh Baruch Hu in mincha? If yeah, good, great. You fulfilled the tachlis atfila. If not, so we have what to strive for. That's purpose number one. Number two, kniyasa lefanav, humility before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The purpose of davening is to stand in humility before the Melech Machi Amlachim. Number three, Imrei Memusa Labaira, elevating the Creator. Number four, Veshivcha V'Haidas L'Shmai, praising and thanking Him. Number five, listen carefully, V'Hashlochas Kol Yahaveh Olav, throwing one's pekel on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Not, I need something, this is a way for me to get it. No, that's not a tachlis of tefillah. We hope the Ribbono Shel Olam will answer us, but that's not the purpose of tefillah. The purpose is the act of bitachon that we have tzrachim. The act of saying, Ribbono Shel Olam, it's not within my capacity to get what I need. I put it on you and I recognize you're the only one who could help me. That avoidah, putting my needs on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is the purpose of davening. Not getting from Hashem what you need, but the act of putting it upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So then, it's always worthwhile to focus on these words of the Chavos HaVavos. So at the very least, at the end of the davening, you could say, you know what? In this shachris, in this mincha, in this mariv, I was mekayim the five avoidos hatfila. So it's probably worthwhile to try to identify. So I'm not telling you to have kavana even for, you could not have kavana for 99% of the words. Just try to find five places in the tefillah where you could be mekayim these five inyanim. Because if you could walk away from a davening and say, you know what, in this 10-minute mincha, in this 50-minute shachris, I was mekayim the five milas ho'alyoinos of avodas Hashem, you could walk away with a geshmak, you could put in your back pocket, you know what, I could take out of this tefillah the five main avodos of avodas Hashem, so you could walk away. Three times a day, I put in my back pocket the three avodos ho'alyoinos. You could choose any place you want to be mekayim these inyanim. When you say the pasuk, nafshenu chiksa l'Hashem, my neshama yearns for Hashem. Okay, so mark in the siddur. Okay, in this at this time, you can mekayim. What the Chavos HaVavos says, the tachas atfila is kalois hanefesh el ho'alekim. When you say Hashem sefasai tiftach, think. Okay, now I'm being mekayim the inyan. Then when I stand in tefila, I am humbling myself before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that I recognize I can't even open up my mouth without the assistance of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Obviously, Moedim, we're thanking Hashem, but be aware, okay, now I'm fulfilling one of the main objectives of Avodas Hashem in general, and that is to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I think if a person would be able to identify yeah, Avada, everybody knows in Shema Kaleinu, okay, I'm going to ask Hashem for what I need. But why am I asking Hashem for what I need? Am I asking Hashem for what I need because I want to get it? Or am I asking Hashem for what I need as an act of bitachon that I recognize I can't help myself and I put everything on Hashem? Now this is a complete reality check. Because you stop 999 people out of 1,000, you say, why am I davening? I'm davening because I don't have A, B, and C, and this is how I get it. No, that's not the purpose of davening. So that alone is a chidush oyoim v'noiro chidush nefla. Now I want to share with you what to me is personally the most beneficial approach to davening that I think could really upgrade our whole approach in general. And let's start like this. Imagine a person was able to go to the holiest spot on earth. Imagine a person was able to go to the Beis HaMikdash. So he made a trip to Beis HaMikdash. Harav HaGoyin, Rav Berger Shlita, put up a poster on the wall over there where it says emergency exit only, that any Bachram who learn Seder Beretzifus for 3 hours straight, not they don't look at their phone, their phone is up, is in the dorm, then he's going to take them to the Beis HaMikdash. So everybody does it. And they get on a plane. The Rashiva charters his personal jet. And he takes everybody to the Beis HaMikdash. They land in the Ezras Noshim. It's 3 a.m. What's going on in the Ezras Noshim? 3 a.m. People are gathered over there. People are saying Tehillim. People are saying Tachnunim. People are getting ready for, you know, when the Kohen says, okay, we're open for business. So all of a sudden, the big doors of Shar Niknar open. And the Levim come down the 15 steps and they start playing music and everyone starts walking up the steps of Shar Niknar. Now, who's the attendant in the yeshiva? You have a janitor over here? No. The yeshiva doesn't want to say who. But imagine if there was Tony. Tony comes, he cleans up. Tony came along, he came on the trip with you. And he's there in the in the Azara, why not? He's allowed to come over there. But then he sees on the wall, right next to Shar Niknar, it says, Akum has to stay out. So Tony's walking up the 15 steps of Shar Niknar, and all of a sudden, Tony is over there. He has to stand outside. And all the Akum, they're standing outside, and they're screaming, this is bias, this is prejudice. And they have a whole kind of protest, and they start threatening the Yidden that are coming in, and we run in for our life, and we leave them behind. And then you come to the Ezras Yisrael, which is 11 Amos. And then there are 3 steps of the Duchan, where the Kohanim are Mevarech. And then you see the massive Mizbeach. And then past the Mizbeach is an area called Bein Ha'ulam L'Mizbeach. Now, once you get Bein Ha'ulam L'Mizbeach, how many steps take you from the Mizbeach until the Ulam? You have 12 steps plus the platform, a total of 13. And you have the Pesach Ulam. And you walk through the Pesach Ulam, and the Ulam, it's wider than the Heichal. And you look up at the ceiling. You know what you would see if you saw, you were in the Ulam? You would see chains coming down from the ceiling. The Pirchei Kohuna would climb up the chains, and on the ceiling of the Ulam, there would be 2 crowns, one for the crown of Zerubbabel, and one the crown of Mashiach. And then you would open up the Pesach HaHechal. And unbelievable, on the right side, in the Tzafayin, you saw the Shulchan in the Tzafayin. And on the left side, you saw the Menorah Shabbadarim. And straight ahead, you saw the Mizbech HaKtoiras. Past the Mizbech HaKtoiras, you would see the Paroichas. And then you would be Lefnai V'Lefnim in the Kodesh HaKdashim, the holiest spot on earth. If only we could make that trip. You know the story about Yosef Meshisa? The Romans told him, go in and chap one of the camels of the Beis HaMikdash. And he went in one time and they told him, okay, do it one more time. And he said, I can't do it. They said, do it one more time, we'll elevate you, we'll promote you. He said, I can't do it. And they killed him and they tortured him and they ripped him apart. And the question is, he was willing to do it one time. So why didn't he do it a second time? I believe the Panovitcher Rav says, because once he went into the Beis HaMikdash, he was changed forever, he was elevated, and he became a different person. And even though he went in as a Rosh HaMerusha, he emerged as a Tzaddik, and he was Moser Nefesh HaKadosh Hashem. Rav Yonasan Eibishitz writes, if you would merely put your feet on the Azar, that's why you can't wear shoes in the Azar, you would get a rush of Chachmas Hashem right through your feet into your Mayach. Imagine if you could make the trip into the Beis HaMikdash. So here's where it developed for me. I'll tell you an interesting thing. There's another Tshuvas HaRashba. You wake up in the morning, and what's the first thing you do? You wash Negavasa. And then you get dressed, you take care of what you need to, and right before davening, what do? You wash your hands again. Right? Yeah. And what do you do when you wash your hands again? You make a bracha. You say Netilas Yadayim. Why do you make a bracha on Netilas Yadayim? You're eating bread before you daven. Why do you make a bracha on Netilas Yadayim? Says the Rashba. Because every morning is a new day of Avodah. And you have to inaugurate your new Avodah Hashem. So how does a Kohen inaugurate his daily Avodah Hashem? He washes his hands from the Kiyar. So you have to inaugurate every day. A Yid is like a Kohen, and he has to inaugurate his Avodah Hashem by washing his hands, and he makes a bracha on Netilas Yadayim. Fine. That's the Tshuvas HaRashba. Then there's another interesting halacha. Yeah? Siman Sadi Dalet. Shulchan Aruch says, this is what I call the most misunderstood halacha in the whole Shulchan Aruch. It says in the Shulchan Aruch, Siman Sadi Dalet, when you get up to Davin, if you're standing in Chutz Aretz, Yachser Panav Keneged Eretz Yisrael. You should. What does that mean? You should face Eretz Yisrael. Says the Mechaber, V'yichavein gam lirushalayim. Ula mikdash, ula beis kashi hakadashim. So I think most misinterpret this. Okay, first I'm standing, I'm facing Eretz Yisrael. Yeah, but then the Mechaber says, I should be mechavein to Yerushalayim. Okay. Now I'm facing Yerushalayim. Now, I have to face the Kodesh Hakadashim. Okay. Now I did it. That's what people think. It says the Mishnah Berurah, that's not what it means. There's no halacha you're supposed to face Yerushalayim. And there's no halacha you're supposed to face Kodesh HaKadoshim. When you're in Lakewood and you're facing Eretz Yisrael, you're good to go. You're good to go. You know what it means? You're supposed to be mechavin to Yerushalayim. Says the Mishnah Berurah, Yechavin libay afal pi she'efshar lahachser panav kenegdam. Imagine in your mind, Ratzaloima, Yachshoiv Belibai Virayoinoi, Kilu Oimid, Bemikdash, Asher, Biushalayim, Bemakam Kodesh Akadashim. So the halacha in the Shulchan Aruch, when you daven Shmoneh Esrei, you're supposed to imagine yourself standing in the Kodesh Akadashim. It's not a chumrah, it's not a hiddur, it's not a Kabbalistic practice. It's a halacha in Shulchan Aruch. When you daven Shmoneh Esrei, you should imagine yourself standing in the Kodesh Akadashim. So I was always wondered, that's very interesting, that means when you start off the morning, you're washing your hands on the Kiyar, and when you're davening Shmoneh Esrei, you're in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And what about the rest of davening? I don't know. Somewhere in between, probably. And then I saw that Reb Schwab, in his Perush on the Siddur, is miyaseh the entire Perush al HaSiddur to this approach. And then I realized it really comes from Rabbi Yaakov Emden. Because if you look in the Rabbi Yaakov Emden Siddur, on the top of every page, he tells you exactly where you are in the Beis HaMikdash. So now, flip over your sheet. And in a nutshell, this approach to davening and this appreciation for davening really lends and gives us the following opportunity. That if you start off davening, washing your hands from the Kiyar, and Shmoneh Esrei, you're in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, in reality what this means, that every part of davening is keneged, a different part of the Mikdash, which really means that when you're davening daily, you're journeying through the Beis HaMikdash until ultimately you reach your final destination, which is the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So, it should be self-explanatory. Let's try to go through this. You start off davening, you're in the Ezras Nashem. And the Ezras Nashem corresponds to the Al Netilas Yadayim, Asher Yatzar, Lekai Neshama, Matoivu, and all the preparatory tefillos of the day. Then you say Berachas HaShachar. Oh, what a coincidence! You know how many Berachas HaShachar there are? There are 15 Berachas HaShachar. Oh, what a coincidence that there are 15 steps that take you up from the Ezras Noshim to the Shaar Niknar. Of course, it's not a coincidence. The Chazal who formulated the tefillah, they formulated the Seder HaTefillah after the Tzura of the Beis HaMikdash. So the 15 Berachas HaShachar take you up from the Ezras Noshim into the Berachas HaShachar. Now, I'm not saying you have to say this part, you'll speak to your Rabbein, but at least you should be aware of what the journey is. But the next part of davening is Lo'olam Yehi Adam Yirei Shemayim says V'argoloi and Lefikach Anachem L'Hoydos Lecha and Baruch Ato Hashem Mekadesh Eshimcha Barabim, and you say Kriya Shema. What's the pshat? Pshat is like we said, that once you enter the Shaar Niknar, which is number 14, Tony can't go into the Shaar Niknar, and all the Akum can't go into the Shaar Niknar. So they want to wring your neck. They're trying to kill any Jew that's going in. So it's mamish sakana. So when you're going through the Shaar Niknar, you were saying, Baruch Ato Hashem, Mekadesh Shimcha Barabim, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. That's the entrance into the Machne Yisrael. Now there's a little Tana de Eliyahu, which is said over here. And again, even if you don't say it, just it's kedai to be aware of it. It's Atahu Hashem Elokeinu. And we say, we talk about kibbutz goliyos. What does kibbutz goliyos have to do with anything? Because we just left Tony outside. So basically, the first 11 amos of the Ezras Yisrael is a kibbutz goliyos of all the Yisraelim that gather there, and that corresponds to that Tanad Velio. Then comes karbonos. Karbonos is obvious. Karbonos corresponds to the Mizbeach. The Mizbeach is the Parshas HaTamid and the Ezehu Makoyman. Now we're ready to almost start Pesukei Dezimra. And you look at this diagram of the Beis HaMikdash. And by the way, this diagram comes from a Gemara that's published by Art Scroll. And I have Rishus from Masorah Publications to give it to you today. I asked them explicit Rishus, otherwise I don't want to, you know. And they said, how many Bachram are there? I said, about 50. So if you can get some more. Okay. Anyway, so the how many steps are there taking you up from the Mizbeach until the Ulam? 13 steps. 12 plus the platform. Rabbi Shmuel Oimer, B'sholosh Esrei Midos HaTorah Nidreshes Bahem. Okay. Now you're ready to enter the Ulam. The Pesach HaUlam is Baruch Shomer. The Pesach HaHechal is Yishtabach. So you enter the Ulam through the gateway of Baruch Sha'amar, you exit the Ulam, you enter number 54, you exit number 58, and as we mentioned, what's on the ceiling in the Ulam? The chains, and that is Pesukei Dezimra. An Iker part of understanding Pesukei Dezimra is understanding the Hemshech of one parak to the next. There's a certain derech halimud when you're learning Tosfos, not just the lamdus, to get the hemshech of Tosfos. Okay, Tosfos says v'im toimar v'yesh loimar. Now Tosfos says v'im toimar. Why is that akasha dafka now? What did Tosfos say then all of a sudden now? So there's certain svarim that are very make these observations. The Marsham, Aram Shif, Lechem Abirim, these types of svarim talk about this. The ikur yisod of Pesukei Dezimra is how one perek strings into the next. That's why if Ashrei really ends Tilas Hashem Yedaber Pi V'Varach Kavos Hashem Kachon Elam Vo'ed. So why do we say V'Anachnu Nevarach Kamei Atav Yad Elam? Because since we're about to start Halleluka, so they appendaged to the end of Ashrei a pasuk that ends Halleluka to hook in Halleluka, Halleluka. That's the Yesoid of Pesukei Dezimra, to understand how one Yesoid Ho'emuna flows into the next. That's why there are chains on the ceiling in the Ulam. And now we enter the Heichal. There are two ways to come to recognize and understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Rambam says a person could recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the Bria, through the physical world, to study nature, to study the creation, to study the human body. That is represented by the Shulchan. The Shulchan is the physical world. That is the Shulchan on the right side. That is the Shulchan in the north. The Shulchan represents the Bria, the Bracha of Yoitzer Or Uvoyre Choyshach Ois Hashem Baruch Hakol. That's the Bracha of creation. But of course we know the Rambam says the other way to recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the preferred way to recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu is through the Torah. And that is Ahava Rabbah, the Bracha of Ahava Rabbah. What does Ahava Rabbah correspond to? The Menorah Shabbadorim. The Menorah was the Torah. Somebody would ask a good kasha, what would Reb Tarfon say? Kaftar v'ferach. The Menorah was the medium with through which all Torah came down to the world. So the Shulchan on the right side is the Bracha of Yotzer Ar. The Menorah on the left side is the Bracha of Ahava Rabbah. And then we have the Mizbeach HaKtoires in the center. Now here's the Yusayid. What are you makriv on the Mizbeach HaKtoires? You're not makriv behima, you're makriv ketoires. That corresponds to being makriv the nefesh. What's the avoid of kriyashma? The avoid of kriyashma is that a person accepts upon themselves that they would offer their own neshama to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the Mizbeach HaKtoires, front and center. The Mizbeach HaKtoires is kriyashma. And then there's this little flimsy separation between Kriya Shema and Shemoneh Esrei, the bracha of Goal Yisrael, that you can't be mafsik at all between Goal Yisrael and Shemoneh Esrei. Goal Yisrael is the paroichas. And you open the paroichas, and when you're standing Shemoneh Esrei, you're not all of a sudden jumping into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. You've been preparing the entire tefillah from the very beginning of the Siddur, that when you're davening Shemoneh Esrei, you're not facing the Kodesh HaKadoshim. You're not standing in the direction of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. You are literally standing in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And then the end of davening is you're backing out slowly, reverently, from the Kodesh HaKadoshim to the Heichal, to the Ulam, to the Ezras Koyanim, to the Ezras Yisrael. But it's very worthwhile, even if you can't focus by mamish every single part of davening, okay, where am I now, where am I now, where am I now, there should be a general awareness that tefillah is avoida. It's not an exaggeration when we say, Ula avdoi b'chol levavchem. Ezehu avoida shebelev zehu tefillah. When we say tefillah is an avoida, it's not an exaggeration. Tefillah is an actual avoida. When you're davening, you're actually doing the avoida. And I don't think anybody who would go into the Beis HaMikdash would go in while they had the kelim on the menorah, on the shulchan. I doubt anybody would go in. The kelim, the kelim, shaynim. I doubt anybody would bring in any devices, even on vibrate, into the Beis HaMikdash at the time of tefillah. I mean, that would be, you know, somebody would have to be completely out of their mind to do such a thing. So it's the same thing. That's why nobody in Klal Yisrael ever brings in any devices, even on vibrate, during tefillah. Unless there's mamish, a medical emergency, and they get reshus from the Rosh Shiva and United Hatzalah, International Hatzalah. Otherwise, it's a bizayon kodshim. So it's the same thing with tefillah. But it actually, if you have this tzetel over here, it's not so complicated. You could, with very little effort, really enhance one's tefillah. And even if a person's not mechaving to every word, but at the very least, you know where you are and you know what you're doing. It's begeder da, not only lefnei mi'ata oimed, but da eifayata oimed. Recognize where you're standing. And that's why at the end of Shemoneh Esrei, we say very simply, Yehi Ratzon. We say, Ribono Shel Olam. We were just zoicha to enter the Beis HaMikdash b'machshava. Yehi Ratzon lefanecha, Hashem Elokeinu v'Elokei Aviseinu, sheyibane Beis HaMikdash b'mehera v'yameinu. We're now ready for the real thing. If we're able to be mespalel in a manner of avoida, the way it was meant to be, then taka, we will be zoicha b'karoiv to the Avoida Mamish in the Beis HaMikdash, Sheyibane, M'her V'yameinu, Amen. Shkaya.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.